following program may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Dilly Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Dilly Show. I'm your host, of course. This is Dilly, and today I'm actually going to be ranking the Spider-Man movies. So there's been a lot of Spider-Man movies over the years, lots of different incarnations of the character in movie form. So we are actually going to be ranking them all today. This video has already taken so much time, I'm not even lying. This writing for this video, going back and reviewing, it took so much time. So before I get into it, I want you guys to make sure that you are supporting this podcast. So if you're on YouTube, definitely leave a like, leave a comment, and subscribe, and click the bell icon as well. And let's try to get this video to 10 likes, might as well. And if you're on the podcast platforms, make sure to like it, subscribe to the podcast, do all those things. No more jibber-jabber here, we are getting right into this, folks. So, there is 8 movies in total that we are going to be talking about today, as I am not counting the Spider-Verse movies. I know that's kind of a... I know a lot of people like the Spider-Verse movies. The only reason I'm not including those today is because I haven't actually watched them yet. I've been waiting for the new one to come out, so I'm gonna be watching both of those, and maybe in the future we'll talk about those. I don't know how I'm gonna feel about them. I know they're PG, and normally, if something is PG, I don't really pay too much attention to it because I don't feel like it can really be that good, but I'll definitely be checking them out. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. So we are counting the Tobey Maguire trilogy, so Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 from 2002 to 2007. We're counting the Amazing Spider-Man movies, so with the Andrew Garfield ones, and the most recent Marvel MCU version of the Spider-Man movies. So 8 movies in total here to go over, and we are getting into it right away. So with that being said, number 8! Amazing Spider-Man 2. You know, there had to be a last place, and this movie gets it. It is undisputed. So, it goes without saying that the Andrew Garfield movies are the worst of all incarnations of the Spider-Man movies, unfortunately. I love Andrew Garfield, don't get me wrong, I couldn't say that enough, but his movies just weren't the best. Him and Emma Stone bounce off each other like rocks, or things that just aren't meant to bounce. The writing is terrible, the villains are terrible, and overall, there's just not much very notable about this movie, unfortunately. I remember the first time I watched this movie, I was 12 years old, and I thought it was genuinely the best movie I had ever seen, but in hindsight, I know like a lot of 12-year-olds who would have watched that movie, or even younger, probably would have thought the same thing, like, oh, that was a great fucking movie, so good. But looking back at it, oh boy, there is a lot to be desired here. My biggest bone to pick, really, with this movie is the relationship between Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy. It just is so horrible. Like, you look at, you know, the original Spider-Man, you look at, like, Tobey Maguire and Emma Watson. Actually, it's Kirsten Dunst. Emma Watson's the bitch that plays Hermione. It's perfect. They do so well, they bounce off each other really well. But in this one, it's just such a step down, it's a leap down. Everything that they do together is just so fucking cringe. And that wouldn't necessarily be such a big issue if the whole movie didn't revolve around their relationship. Like, it's literally the main focal point of this entire movie. So the fact that it's bad means that the main focal point of the movie's bad, ergo the movie is bad. Also, they gave Jamie Foxx a tooth gap and a comb over, so there's that. Not to mention the fucking goblin from this movie. How did we go from this to this? How did that happen? This dude could not fucking steal MJ in a million years. And I know he has like this thing, it's the disease, the Osborn curse or whatever. That whole thing's kind of strange. I mean, I know it leads into the whole goblin thing, and it is what it is. And I know the video games nowadays are actually working on doing the Osborn curse in those. So I'm hoping the video games do it a little bit better, because it was not portrayed very well in this whatsoever. And how could I forget? Paul Giamatti is the fucking Rhino. You know how I forgot? He's in the movie for all of about 2 fucking seconds. In the fact that they were really trying to tease a third Amazing Spider-Man movie with Paul Giamatti as the main antagonist. The fact that they even had that idea. He might not have been the main antagonist, maybe he would have just been like the first villain Spider-Man fights in the movie. That's probably what they were gonna do. Either fucking way, Paul Giamatti as Rhino is just fucking hilarious in hindsight. clearly they weren't thinking too much about The Amazing Spider-Man 3, as pretty much as soon as this movie came out, any idea for Amazing Spider-Man 3 was shit-canned. The reviews were terrible, nobody liked it, probably didn't do good in sales. There was not going to be a third movie here. And you see, I'm not sure if it was like the writing or the casting that drug the movie down. It was probably a good mixture of both, because there's just nothing in this movie that makes it watchable. Performance-wise, the actors did what they could, but at the end of the day, you can't fucking polish a turd. The only scene that's worth going back and watching is the scene where fucking Gwen gets dropped. I mean, the Times Square scene was fine too, but that's about it. This whole movie is just terrible. That's the only way to really describe it. You can go back and watch it and laugh at it, but that's about all it's good for, unfortunately. Let's go on to the next one. Number 7, Amazing Spider-Man 1. Would you look at that?
How'd that get in there?
Once again, the Andy flicks just weren't good. This time, instead of Jamie Foxx with a tooth gap, we get a fucking giant lizard person as the main antagonist. A giant lizard person. Why the fuck does he look like that? I mean, this movie definitely beats out the sequel, but that's not really saying much, because the sequel was really bad. This one was bad, but it wasn't to that level. And look, there was like this whole plot line in this one involving Peter's dad, which Peter's dad was never a thing in any of the other fucking Spider-Man movies. But there was a plot line including Peter's dad and Dr. Connors, and there was this whole thing, and it was so boring. It was a goddamn snooze fest. Like, I get it. The reason they put that in was for, you know, the lizard's inevitable uprising, that sort of thing, just to really amp that up. But it wasn't necessary. It took too much fucking time. It was too fucking boring. It was not necessary in the slightest bit. Now, I could really shit on how bad Andrew Garfield was as Spider-Man and as Peter Parker in general. But in hindsight, while he was the worst Peter Parker and the worst Spider-Man, I see what they were going for. They were trying to do something a little bit different. Like, it was a movie in the 2010s made for teenagers. They wanted Spider-Man to be cool. They wanted him to do this and that. The dude rode a fucking skateboard. Are you fucking kidding me? At the time, the movie didn't really disappoint. Like, it was very different from the source material, very different from the first movies that they did with Tobey Maguire, but it didn't disappoint all that much when it came out. It's just, in hindsight, like, compared to the other ones at least, it's shit. It's absolute shit. And once again, Peter and Gwen's romance is bad. I know I've already mentioned it, but I really feel the need to emphasize how fucking terrible it was. It is literally the worst thing. You could go and watch a single scene with those two and you will fucking cringe. It is so gross. I don't know who the fuck wrote this shit, but it was fucking horrendous. Not to mention, neither of them really seemed like high schoolers at all. Andrew Garfield was 31 when this movie came out. 30 fucking one. And Emma Stone was not far behind, but like, still, it's not good. Like, they don't portray their characters very well. The writing is absolutely horrible. Their conversations just sound forced, uncomfortable, and super goddamn vomit-inducing. So, safe to say, there's not really much this movie has going for it. Let's go on to the next one. Number 6, Spider-Man Far From Home. Now, I'm just going to start this off by saying I don't hate this movie. In fact, I love this movie. I'm honestly disgusted that it had to touch the first two entrants on the list. But from here on out, the movies are actually good, because we're out of the Andrew Garfield ones, we're into the Tobys, and we're into the Tom Hollands. This one, of course, is Tom Holland's version of Peter Parker, which you could actually argue, really, that he is the best incarnation of Peter Parker. I don't think he's the best Spider-Man, but he may be the best Peter Parker, simply because he has the youthfulness that Peter Parker has needed. Like, Toby seemed old, Andrew Garfield seemed younger, but wasn't, but still seemed old. It needed the youthfulness, and Tom Holland really brought that in here. On top of that, in this movie, you get fucking Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. So it's literally one of my favorite actors as one of my favorite characters that never was portrayed in a movie. So you could say I was pretty fucking excited to see when that happened. Now, this movie only really had the one main antagonist, which was Mysterio. And normally that could be considered a bad thing, not having multiple antagonists, but it honestly works perfect in this movie. they didn't really need more antagonists. Mysterio did have his gadgets and he had his augments and stuff, so I mean, there was other things for Peter to really be fighting, like the drones, the water dude, but Mysterio was the main antagonist. He was like the only one that was really any sort of a problem, and it was fine because Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Holland just worked so well in this movie. Like, any scene they had together was just perfect. Like, their chemistry was just on point the entire movie. That chemistry was not matched with Zendaya and Tom Holland, which is funny because they're actually dating. But their chemistry in these movies is just not fucking there. There is no spark between these two, and I absolutely hate Zendaya's character. She is the most angsty, annoying, bitchy, worst fucking character. I get it. They're trying to do like a modern approach in these movies, and I understand that. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. I don't like modern things. I don't like the fact that they're writing her as like this modern hipster fuck. Like, I hate her character. I don't even know the words to describe it. I just hate her character so much. And not to mention, this movie is actually the only Spider-Man movie where Spider-Man's identity has been exposed, like, publicly. I thought that was a pretty neat twist, all things considered, and more hijinks followed, which is always fun. This movie in general is just really fun. I love this movie very much, so that's why it's on this part of the list. I mean, I wish it could be higher, but it's just the other movies that it has to compete with. It's not possible. But let's go on to the next one, which is number 5, Spider-Man Homecoming. Homecoming was Tom Holland's first movie, and it was done phenomenally. They skipped over the backstory in the beginning of the Spider-Man character, which I was a little skeptical with at first. Like, I feel like you kind of need a little bit of a backstory, but he got none. Like, there was no spider bite, there was no fucking wall crawling, there was no web shooting. It's just, he is Spider-Man. That's all we got from it. He confirmed in a later movie that he was bit by a spider. I think it was literally the last one they did, Far From Home, or No Way Home. I think he confirmed he was bit by a spider, but like, we didn't see any of that. And as I mentioned, I was skeptical of that at first, but the more I think about it, the more I'm okay that they didn't do a backstory, because to be fair, it's a little bit overdone. Like, we got it in both of the other series. We got it in the Andrew Garfield and the Tobey Maguire ones. We know what happens. We don't need another backstory. I'm okay with it now. At first, I was not, but I'm okay with it now. We didn't need the backstory. Another thing this movie did that was a little bit different is the film opens introducing the antagonist. The first scene we get is Vulture. We see Michael Keaton's Vulture right away. There's no build-up here. It's just, he exists. Pretty unique way of introducing a villain, but I like it. So in this film, Peter really has to manage between school and crime fighting, often having to choose one over the other, which, you know, you could assume it goes, there's hijinks, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. Tony Stark also plays a pivotal role in the movie, as all Spider-Man really wants to do in this movie is impress Tony Stark so he can get into the Avengers. Does that happen? I don't know. There's a few scenes where Peter and the Vulture are actually exchanging because Peter wanted to take the Vulture's daughter to prom. He didn't know it was the Vulture's daughter, but then the Vulture and Peter meet, and it gave me serious Peter and Norman kitchen scene vibes from the fucking first movie. I don't know if it was intended, but I very much enjoyed it. In the end, Peter trumps the Vulture and his crush moves away. So no more crush there. He's got to go for Zendaya now. And at the end of the movie, also, Stark asks Peter to join the Avengers, but he declines. He does take back the suit that Tony Stark stole from him, confiscated, and May finds out his identity, and that's the film. A pretty solid first film in the series for Tom Holland. I think it was a pretty good representation. It was a good start. It worked really well, and a lot of great movies followed it, so magnifique. Let's go on to the next one. Actually, before we move on to the next thing, seeing as we are talking about Homecoming, and I mentioned Aunt May finds out Spider-Man's identity, why did they have to make Aunt May hot? Like, Marissa Tomei is a fucking icon. I love Marissa Tomei. She's done a lot of great shit, and I love that she's a big part of these films, but when I think of Aunt May, I think of an old lady. I don't think of Marissa Tomei. It was an interesting casting choice. I don't know exactly how I feel about it, but when I think of Aunt May, I think of old lady, not MILF. But anywho, on to the next one. Number 4 is Spider-Man 1, an absolute classic. I love this movie in every single way. I love Peter's transformation. I love the well crawling. I love the web swinging. And I fucking love the natural web shooters. I will never say anything against natural web shooters. I know it's a thing that a lot of Spider-Man fans are kind of iffy on. Everyone's kind of on the fence about it because it does kind of take away from Peter's scientific skills. It takes away from that part of his personality. We don't get a whole lot of him being scientific and smart in the first movie. Like, we don't get much of that right away. That kind of comes in the second and third movies. So it wasn't that big of a deal. And I mean, dude got fucking bit by a spider. So not only is he super strong, super resilient, and has fucking sticky hands, but he can shoot webs from his fucking wrists. That is badass. Story-wise also, this movie is absolutely amazing. Everything that happens in the Sam Raimi movies, the first three, everything that happens branches off and turns into something. It branches into the next thing. Peter wants a car, so he goes and beats up Bonesaw Macho Man Randy Savage. He doesn't get paid, so he lets a crook steal the money from the promoter, and then the crook kills Uncle Ben, and then Peter kills the crook. And then he's haunted by the phrase, with great power comes great responsibility. The lesson he learned from Uncle Ben just hours before he was killed in cold blood. Everything branched there. It just was one thing to the next thing to the next thing. Everything lined up. In that, with great power comes great responsibility. He learned that right then and there. He killed the man, and now he's understanding that you can't just kill people because you feel like you can kill people. That's not the way of doing things. So Spider-Man now becomes a superhero. He is a hero. He does the right thing. He doesn't kill. It developed his character, and it was so perfect. And it happens so much in the Sam Raimi movies. Just everything's connected by little things, and I love the attention to detail. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. Personally, I think Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin was the best comic-to-movie casting choice that has ever been fucking made. I cannot see the Green Goblin character without thinking of Willem Dafoe now, because he did so fucking good. He is literally the best person to have played that role, and to be the first main antagonist in this movie, I feel like really gave it a good jumpstart, because he did so fantastic. One thing I also love about these movies, and it goes from 1, 2 to 3, there's a lot of subplots and story arcs going on here that lead into next films. So, for example, Peter's story arc is most simple. He's a hero, he doesn't kill, he does what's right, and he'll protect those closest to him, oftentimes pushing them out of his way in the process. MJ loves Peter, she can't have him, and she wants to become an actress. We learn more about that in the next movie. And Harry's arc is the most subtle, but it is arguably the most important. Harry wants to avenge his father's death. He is nothing without his father, and he vows to kill Spider-Man at any cost. This movie is just fucking magic, and it is the absolute greatest. It's one of the greatest, it's not the greatest, but every film in this trilogy is so good. I'm saying in general, this trilogy is the greatest thing that ever happened to the Spider-Man fucking name, to the Spider-Man brand. Let's go on to the next one. All right, so number three is Spider-Man No Way Home. I am very divided about this film. There's a lot of reasons I think it should have ended up higher on the list, but I think number three is a comfortable spot. So Tom Holland and crew return, everybody from the previous Tom Holland movies here, but this time they bring back the nostalgia. The movie begins where Far From Home left off, Mysterio had revealed Spider-Man's identity to everybody, and in an act to have this undone, Peter wants Doctor Strange to cast a spell. Now, here's where I think this film falls short a little bit. And I may be a bit too harsh on it, but I'm not the biggest fan of the whole multiverse thing. I think it's way overdone, especially by Marvel. It is way too much. They are doing it way too often. It doesn't feel important. It doesn't feel special. In this movie, it works perfectly fine because you're bringing back all of the fucking villains from the Spider-Man movies, practically. And it's amazing. The multiverse, like Doctor Strange, all that, like it works well in this film. And there are some incredible moments that come from it, undeniably. But I'm just not on the multiverse bandwagon as much as a lot of people are. So Doctor Strange casts a spell, which goes wrong. So instead of everybody forgetting that Spider-Man is Peter Parker, everybody from other universes that knew Peter Parker's identity or Spider-Man's identity as Peter Parker are coming into their universe. kind of confusing, but that's how it went. So all of a sudden, enter Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus and Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin. Two huge holy shit moments right off the bat. So Spider-Man and friends figure out what happened. They figure out people are coming from different universes, and it is now their job to track down the rest of the villains and trap them in these little pods. Electro and Sandman are next, followed by the most gracious moment in this film, probably the best moment in any Spider-Man movie, if I'm being entirely honest. Peter friends Ned, hits the neckbeard P spot, summoning not only Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, but Tobey fucking Maguire. I will openly admit this. I watched this movie in the theaters. I was high off my fucking gourd. This is the first time I've ever cried in a movie theater. Watching Tobey Maguire especially come onto screen again, my childhood was alive. Like, I can't deny that. It was just such a special thing, and I think everybody kind of knew it was going to happen coming into the movie. It wasn't confirmed, but everybody kind of knew it was going to happen, but just watching it happen, especially in the theater, like, I'm so immersed. I fucking cried. I cried. I didn't bawl my eyes out or anything, but there was some wetness going down these cheeks, and I was watching this movie actually just today before recording this video, because I wanted to see, because I hadn't watched it since it came out, so I wanted to see if it really lived up. It does. I cried again. It's so fucking good. A tear came to my fucking eye seeing that shit. I got goosebumps. I was so fucking happy. Greatest scene in any Spider-Man movie ever. In the end of the movie, everybody is repaired. Everybody gets essentially a dose of whatever fixes them. So for example, Sandman becomes not sand, Electro becomes not electric. You get the idea. Everybody gets repaired. Everybody gets sent back to their own universes. But in the Tom Holland universe, everybody has forgotten Peter Parker. The spell was done. Everybody forgot Peter Parker. So surely there will be more films in the series. They definitely teased it with the ending because you got Spider-Man showing up in a new suit, a brand new suit. It looks much like the older ones, though. It's like a very classic animated Spider-Man feeling suit, which I fucking love. It's amazing looking. And then you, of course, had the tease with Tom Hardy's Venom at the end of the movie in the credits, where he leaves some symbiote in a bar in Tom Holland's universe. So, we're probably going to get Black Suit Spidey in the next one, if we get a next one. There's no confirmation that we are getting another one. They are working on it. Tom Holland's on a deal, like he's signed up for the movie. They're definitely going to be doing one at some point, but we just don't know when. It definitely hasn't started shooting yet. I don't even think it's been fully written yet. I think they're working on that currently, but I'm definitely going to be staying tuned for when this movie comes out, because Far From Home, or I keep calling it Far From Home, No Way Home was a very special movie. I loved it very much. I will definitely stay tuned for the next one. Number two is Spider-Man 2.
The power of the sun in the palm of my hand.
This movie hits in a way none of the others could. I remember watching it for the first time and then getting the DVD when I was a kid. And as a real youngling, I would watch this movie over and fucking over again. The movie starts with Peter working as a pizza delivery guy, and he's fired because he is late because of his Spider-Man antics. So then, MJ ended up becoming an actress, which is good. And then she wanted Peter to go to one of her shows, and he no-shows because he was late due to Spider-Man antics. I'm sensing a pattern here. Now, I might as well get this off my chest. The villain in this movie, of course, is Alfred Molina's Otto Octavius, Dr. Octopus. And it's a shock to actually find out that Alfred Molina was mostly known for his stage performances. He's not known for being an on-screen actor. Watching it back with that information, I kind of noticed a few scenes where it is pretty evident he's a stage guy, especially one where I think he was just coming out of the hospital, his arms had taken full control of him, and he's just like, no! It was like so dramatic, so Broadway, but I fucking loved it. So Otto Octavius as a character in this movie starts off wholesome enough. He's developing a renewable energy source, and in true comic book fashion, everything goes to shit, and his octopus arms become self-controlled and fused to him, so he's just stuck. The voices from the arms are talking to him in his head. I don't know how they have voices, but apparently they do. An interesting plot point in this movie comes when Peter simply loses his spider powers, something that hadn't been seen. Well, I suppose this was literally the first batch of movies, but it's something that still hasn't been seen. Like, he just lost his spider powers. His vision goes to shit, he can't shoot webs, and he hurts
my back!
Powerless, Peter tries to live an average life. He goes to class, attends MJ's plays, but all the while, everything in his life is still going to shit. It's good for a minute, but then it starts going to shit again. MJ falls in love with an astronaut, crushing Peter's blue balls, and Otto attempts to repair his fusion reactor, because he's a big bad guy now. In need of precious trinium, Otto seeks Harry, who will supply trinium in exchange for Spider-Man, because Harry still wants to get his hands on that boy. So, once Harry finally has Spider-Man, he's wrapped up in barbed wire, sitting on his couch. Harry could so easily kill him, but he needed to see that face. Takes off the mask, realizes, oh shit, it's Peter. And he just kind of lets Peter go, because MJ is in danger and Otto Octavius is about to blow up the city. Harry missed out. He missed his chance. Of course, Spider-Man spoils the villain's big plan, and Otto Octavius takes back control of the arms, inevitably drowning himself along with his machine in the river. And in the end, MJ ditches the astronaut guy for Peter on her wedding day, which is not a nice thing to do. And Harry once again plots his revenge against Spider-Man, uncovering Daddy Goblin's secret roid chamber. All in all, this movie is an absolute classic. I would have loved to put this as number one, but there's just one reason I can't do that. Number one is Spider-Man 3. Listen here, folks. I absolutely adore Spider-Man 3. Call that a hot take, call that what you will, but I really, really love this movie. The ensemble cast of ensemble casts return for one last hurrah, dragging in a few names as well. So the first new name I will talk about is Thomas Hayden Church, who plays Sandman. Personally, I think his character was done really well in this film. Nothing beats a villain that you can have sympathy for. It's something so rare, but it's always so interesting. His daughter's dying, so he essentially flees jail, which we'll find out why he was in jail in a little bit. But his daughter's dying, he flees jail, so he intends on providing her with the care she needs. In doing so, cops find him and chase him to... well, they chase him to a sand mixer. I think in the movie they call it a super collider, but I did some research to figure out exactly what the fuck the point of the machine is that he fell into. So it is, I'm actually going to read my notes here, it is a particle accelerator. Its purpose is to speed up the particles that make up all matter in the universe and collide them together or into a target, allowing scientists to study those particles and blah blah blah. So, with a hardly greater knowledge of the subject, that didn't really tell me anything, I'm just gonna assume that these exist, and somehow he ended up in one, causing him to become a sand boy! We get some excellent for its time CGI showing off the transformation from this dude into Sandman. It's so fucking good, and it's touching too. It shows a whole fucking story with just grains of sand, and it's done super well. The one takeaway from the Sandman characters, in my eyes, is the fact that it is revealed that he was Uncle Ben's real killer from the first movie. So the man Peter killed in the first movie was simply an accomplice. That's why Flint Marko, Sandman, was in jail. That sucks. That is absolute plot killer. Not only does it take a lot away from this movie, but it takes a lot away from the first movie as well. It's kind of easy enough to, like, look past, but it still bothers me. Every time I watch this movie, it just bothers the hell out of me. So when Peter finds out that Sandman is the one that killed Uncle Ben, Sandman becomes enemy number one on Spider-Man's book. So this is followed shortly by...
How'd you like to own a little bit of my foot in your ass?
Alright, so Eric Foreman from That 70s Show is Venom. I have no words. Honestly, I don't hate his portrayal of Eddie Brock. Venom's a bit of a different story, but I don't hate his portrayal of Eddie Brock. He's a creepy, lonely, wannabe photographer who fantasizes about Gwen Stacy. Simple, right? It's not that bad. I don't hate his character. I love seeing Topher Grace here. Like, I know it's so goofy that it's Eric Foreman from fucking That 70s Show, but I love it. It's just, it's so ridiculous, it's so wacky, such a weird casting choice, but I don't hate it, except for when he becomes Venom. So, is he the greatest depiction of Venom? Absolutely not, But in my honest opinion, there will never be a perfect Venom. It's not that the character is hard to really deal with or hard to write for, because it's not. It's not a hard thing to portray whatsoever. But if it was going to happen, the movie would have to have a rating, which is a mature rating. It would need to be 18+. Marvel movies typically aren't. Comic book movies typically aren't. I mean, like, there's been a few. Like, you got your Deadpools, you got your Logans, but it's not a thing that happens very often. So I honestly don't think a perfect Venom movie would ever be made, because it would have to be very dreary, very vile, and Sony probably doesn't think it would sell. So instead, we get whatever this Venom is and whatever Tom Hardy's Venom is, which, I'm not gonna lie, I don't like Tom Hardy's Venom either. For so many reasons. I prefer Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock. I do not prefer his Venom in any way. Although, maybe I do a little bit, because he looks like Venom. He doesn't just look like thick Spider-Man. He looks like Venom. That's about it. I don't like how the symbiote is just funny. Like, I don't like how it's just jokes. Sure, you get laughs out of that movie, and that's great. You should not get laughs out of a Venom movie, but we're talking about Spider-Man. We're not going on about Venom anymore. But what else sets this movie apart, you may ask? Well, that's quite fucking simple. Oh my God. Unpopular opinion here. Emo Peter is actually perfect. It is actually amazing. And I am not being sarcastic, ironic, nothing. Emo Peter is just amazing, and it's just so misunderstood. So let me explain why Emo Peter was actually a good thing. So it's said in this movie by Dr. Connors that the symbiote, when it gets on you, it will accentuate your personality. It will accentuate your good traits and your bad traits. So when the symbiote that makes up Venom or the black suit gets on Peter, it accentuates him. And in this film, Peter becomes full of himself for a time. It's kind of subtle, but he's very self-oriented. He only cares about himself because everybody loves Spider-Man. He killed Sandman, who killed Uncle Ben. And life's just going swell. He's not noticing anything bad around him. So he's so happy. He's full of himself. He's cocky. He's charismatic. Then he gets the symbiote on him, and it accentuates that to a fucking T. So when he takes on the symbiote, it alters his personality. He's dancing, he's thrusting, he's got fucking bangs. The dance scene is the greatest 3 minutes of this film, and I say that with no word of a lie. Eventually, unfortunately, Peter does get rid of the symbiote and has a mega boss fight with Sandy Manny and Venom Foreman. After discovering Spider-Man's identity and trying to kill Peter, Harry, the man who wanted nothing more than to kill Spider-Man, came around to save his best friend, in turn getting killed by his own glider just as his dad was smited. And the moment Harry gets impaled by the glider, the look he gives to Peter, it is the most touching moment in this movie. Because you're seeing in this moment that Harry knows Peter was innocent. He knows his dad's own glider killed him. He knows Peter did not kill his father. And friendship shines through. And he sacrifices himself because he's been so wrong and his brain has been so focused on killing Spider-Man and killing Peter, when in reality, Peter was innocent. It was so touching. It was literally the best scene in this movie. Honestly, this movie is full of genuinely amazing moments. Everything comes to a head, all of the story arcs have ended, and the fact that they even considered making Spider-Man 4 is fucking mind-boggling to me. Apparently, plans for the cancelled fourth movie would have included Bruce Campbell becoming Mysterio, which I would have absolutely loved, but otherwise it seems much better forgotten, honestly. Spider-Man 3 worked as a great crescendo to the trilogy, despite its shortcomings, because I will acknowledge that it's not actually a perfect movie. There is definitely their problems, there's too much going on. And what happened was Sony really forced Sam Raimi to go against what he wanted to do. They wanted to commercialize the movie as much as possible. They wanted to get the merchandise out. I remember being a kid with all the fucking Spider-Man 3 merchandise that my parents bought. I don't know how we didn't go bankrupt. I had the Venom suit, because of course I had the Venom suit. I remember they used to fucking in cereal boxes. I'm pretty sure I got a box of fucking Cocoa Puffs or some shit. And in the box was, like, a little toy, like a little squirty toy that you play with in the bathtub, and it was fucking Sandman. Like, I had that. I had web shooters from Spider-Man 3. I had so many fucking Spider-Man 3 things. The one thing that I loved the absolute most was Pringles put out a can with Spider-Man 3 sponsoring on it, and the chips themselves had trivia questions on them. So, like, something about Spider-Man, and there was an answer, and it was just on a chip. 2007 was a weird fucking time. At the end of the day, honestly, this is my Spider-Man movie. I know it's a very unpopular opinion, and that's perfectly fine. I just have such a strong connection to this movie. I see the goofiness in a lot of it, I do, and I really do wish Sam Raimi would have gotten to make this movie his own way. And I mean, in the era of Snyder cuts, it's not impossible that we won't get a Sam Raimi cut of the movie. It's just very unlikely because Sony probably wouldn't be willing. With that said, though, folks, that was my ranking of all of the Spider-Man movies, not including Spider-Verse. So I hope you guys enjoyed. I know you probably do not agree with my number one, so let me know what you think is the greatest Spider-Man movie. Put it in the comments, send it to me on Instagram at ThisIsDilly, and also make sure to do all the things I've already mentioned. If you're on YouTube, subscribe, like the video, leave a comment, subscribe. I said subscribe twice. Click the bell icon. If you're listening on the podcast platforms, make sure to, of course, follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, like this episode, and as mentioned as well, follow me on Instagram at ThisIsDilly. With that said, I have been your host, This Is Dilly, signing out.